On this All Saints Sunday, we remember those faithful who have gone before us into the kingdom. We live by their examples as they live by the example of Jesus Christ. Let us prepare our hearts for worship. Savior Jesus the Christ, as we do every Sunday morning here at First Baptist of Elon. If you're a guest with us today, a visitor, we We encourage you to take the time to fill out a visitor card and place that in the offering plate today. We also have, beside those visitor cards, which are on the back of the pew in front of you, we have prayer cards. If you have any prayer concerns or any praises that you'd like to share with the church body, please feel free to take one of those and fill it out, and also you can place that in the offering plate. Today there are many opportunities for a Bible study as our day continues. Don't forget to come back tonight as we have opportunities for children and for youth, and we continue our adult Bible study entitled The Body of Christ. It's about issues of race and reconciliation, and we've had some very vibrant conversations and really important conversations, and that continues tonight as well. We want to pause before we continue to worship, and I want to recognize Corey from the human resource team to come and share something.
Good morning, everyone. October was Pastor Appreciation Month, and so we just wanted to say thank you to our pastoral staff, David and Mason and Gay, wherever she is, I'm not sure.
Don't worry about Gay, she's playing hooky today.
Oh, okay. But thank you so much for your commitment and service to us, FBC Elon, to the Lord, and to each other. So thank you.
I'll get it from you later, Corey.
As we continue to worship, we recognize today as All Saints Sunday. It's a day in the life of the Christian church. Globally, churches are recognizing and remembering the saints in Christ who've gone before us. And we as Baptists believe very firmly that all people who are redeemed by Christ are saints in Christ, that we have a priesthood of all believers. And so we recognize them today, and later in the service, you'll have an opportunity to light a candle in memory of someone or some people that you have lost, who you have said goodbye to from this world, but know they are waiting to greet you in the next life. At every service of remembrance, at every funeral, and even at the baptism, we light a single white candle. It's a sign and symbol of Christ, the light of Christ that shines in the darkness, even the darkness of death. The darkness cannot overcome it. It is a symbol of the promises of the gospel and the hope of the resurrection, that those in Christ are always in Christ's hands, and nothing, neither life nor death, can remove them. Would you remember those today who had gone before you and set such a powerful example?
The scripture reading for today is Psalms 34. I will extol the Lord at all times. His praise will always be on my lips. I will glory in the Lord. Let the afflicted hear and rejoice. Glorify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all of my fears. Those who look to him are radiant. Their faces are never covered with shame. The poor man called, and to the Lord heard him. He saved me. He saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. Taste and see what the Lord is good, that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his holy people, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever of you loves life and desires to see many good days, keep your tongue from evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to blot out their name from the earth. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. The righteous person may have many troubles, but the Lord delivers them from all. He protects all his bones. Not one of them will be broken. Evil will slay the wicked. The foes of the righteous will be condemned. The Lord will rescue his servants, and no one who takes refuge in him will be condemned.
Let us pray this morning. Father, we come to church hungry this morning for you, O Lord. We are hungry for comfort, hungry for love, hungry for a new way of living, hungry for your word. Thank you for giving us this place and this time to worship. And we are eager to taste your goodness in this community this morning with our brothers and sisters. Father, we taste and see that you are good. Father, we know you can be happy. We can be happy when we take refuge in you. Bless us as we come this day, feasting on the bread of life. We lift this prayer in Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, Here I Am to Worship. It's on the screen behind us. Please stand.
Thank you. bring something special. Man, y'all are afraid of me, aren't you? I can understand. I gotta show you something special. All right, so when I show it to you, I want you to gasp in surprise, okay? And that goes to the congregation too. Gasp in surprise. If I don't hear loud enough gasp, I'll put it back in the bag and pull it back out again. All right, you ready? Get set, go! What is it?
A piece of paper.
Not just any piece of paper. What kind of paper? Blank paper. What color is it? White paper. And it is what?
Folded.
So I have a blank piece of white paper that is folded. Everybody gasp in surprise. This paper is very special because you know what this piece of paper represents? This piece of paper represents me, Mr. David. This is Mr. David, okay? Mr. David's no longer here. Mr. David's on the paper. Do you see Mr. David? No, you don't see Mr. David. I know you don't, but I got you. This is Mr. David, not me. This is Mr. David. So Mr. David is pretty plain. Pretty ordinary, got a crease in the middle, there's always some wrinkles and, you know. So I've got, this is a simple piece of paper. There's nothing on this piece of paper, right? So I need to volunteer. Who wants to volunteer? Raise your hand. All right, Diamond, come up here. I need your help. All right, Miss Diamond, do you know what this is? You know what that is? That is an ink pad. I know you knew, but I didn't want to share with everybody else. This is an ink pad. Now, do you know what happens if you put your finger on an ink pad? Watch. Watch what I do with my finger. Is it the same? It's got something on it. So if I put my finger there and I put it on this piece of paper, guess what? The paper is not all by itself. Do you do that? You want to do that? All right. So put your finger on it really hard. Now, don't put it on that piece of paper. Put it on that piece of paper. All right, don't. Hold your finger up. I'm a good parent. I'm trying not to mess up the clothes. All right. Now, wipe your finger off and take that back. I need another volunteer. Who wants to be a volunteer? Anybody? Alan's all right, look, get up here. All right. All right, so, as you can see, the paper's not, Mr. David's not plain anymore, right? Right? Not plain. See, I've made a difference on the paper. Miss Diamond has made a difference on the paper. Luke, can you do the same thing? Can you make a difference on that piece of paper? All right, push it hard. Push it hard. There you go. Go back. I need somebody else. Wes, I know you want to make a difference in Mr. David's life. Come here. Make a difference on this piece of paper. Oh, we're going thumb on it. All right. All right, here, Lance, you want to? Lance, you want to come up here? You want to make a difference in Mr. David's life? No. Allie Walton. All right, so as we see, Mr. David, it's changed, right? It's not a simple white piece of paper anymore, right? Because guess what? I made a difference in Mr. David's life. Miss Diamond has made a difference in Mr. David's life. Mr. Luke has made a difference in Mr. David's life. Mr. West made a big imprint with his thumb on Mr. David's life. And what would happen if I passed this sheet of paper around to the entire church and gave them this ink pad and I told them to do the same thing? What do you think this piece of paper would look like at the very end?
Cover.
It would be what?
Yeah.
Cover? It would be cover, right? Would it be white anymore? Probably not, right? Probably not. You know why? You know what? This piece of paper represents my spiritual life. There have been lots of people in my lives that life that has made a difference in my life. I think about my grandparents. I think about my Sunday school teachers when I was growing up. I think about my pastor when I was growing up, my youth minister. All these people have made a difference in my life. So basically, they made an imprint like you did on this life. Did you know you are the same way? Did you know that? Did you know that people have been making a fingerprint on you in your life? Did you know that? That you've had people in your lives that have made a difference in your life? You know, Pastor Mason in just a few minutes is going to be talking about all those people who have passed on, those great saints that have passed on in our history. And that goes for decades and centuries beyond. But the fact is, every single day, someone makes an impact on your life. And that's amazing. And sometimes I think we forget that. I think we just do it ourselves. We just think it's all about us. But you know what? God has put people in your lives that have made a difference. So a little bit later in the worship service, as Pastor Mason talked about, you're going to have an opportunity to maybe come forward and light a candle. What I want you to think about before then is that, who is somebody in your life that has made a difference? Maybe it's somebody who's passed on. My grandfather is the one that's ringing hard in my mind this morning, that he's made a difference in my life. And so a little bit later on, when I come and light a candle, I'm going to light it on remembering him, that saint that's passed before me. But remember, people are making a difference in your life, and God's putting people in your lives to make that difference. Never, ever forget that, okay? All right, come up here. Let's hold hands. Let's have a word of prayer. It's something I like to do when we have a prayer. Come on, come on, come on. All right, Miss Allen, hold my hand right there. Let's come around here to the side. All right, Miss Allen, grab Luke's hand, okay? Luke, grab Langston's hand. Langston, grab Miss Diamond's hand. We got it. All right, we got it, sir. We ready to pray? Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for these children. I thank you for all the people that you have been putting in their lives to make a difference. Their grandparents, their parents, their teachers, their Sunday school teachers, their pastors, so many different people. And Father, I just ask that you continue to do that. Continue to put people in their lives to make a difference, to make an impact for the good. Father, we give you thanks this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. Talking about making an impact in individual lives. This morning I ask for prayer. I ask specifically prayer for our youth group that will be leaving this Friday to head up to Beach Mountain, North Carolina. This is our annual fall retreat. And I know we've had fall retreats before, and you've heard about them in the newsletter and and through the Sunday school classes. But this morning I just wanted to share three things that I would like you to pray for. This weekend as I travel with 10 to 12 youth up to Beach Mountain. First thing I ask for is safe travel. Obviously, you never know what you're going to get when you go to the mountains. One day is 70 degrees, the next day is snowing on the ground. Last year we went up to the fall retreat, we saw snow on the ground. It was a treacherous trip back. So I ask for safety and travel. That's the first thing. The second thing I ask for you is this. I ask you to pray for our youth that will be going, that they may recognize that God intended them to be relational beings. And what I mean by that is God created each one of us to be in relationship. Relationship with Him, relationship with others, and relationship with the world. And so that is one of the big things we'll be talking about, is God has made us relational. And so please pray that the youth will recognize that, that God has created them individually to have relationship. And the third thing we're going to talk about is we're going to talk about dating relationships. That's my final topic for the weekend. So I ask that you pray for them, that they are prepare themselves to open their hearts to what God might say about their dating relationships now and in the future, because it is an important thing in our teenagers' lives. So those are the three things I ask that you pray for. We'll be leaving Friday midday and then coming back Sunday afternoon. So be in prayer for our youth as we seek to see how God is making a difference in their lives and God is putting relationships in their lives that will last a lifetime. Thank you.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
I figured Gay really wanted y'all to appreciate her. So you got me today. So the next week, you can tell Gay how much you appreciate her. Let's stand together and sing our offertory hymn, number 350, The Church is One Foundation.
Yeah.
Dear Lord, thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning. Thank you for the fellowship in this church and for the mission that you have for this church to fulfill in our community, our state, our nation, and our world. Please bless the offerings that are given today and let us use them to your glory. Amen.
See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Beloved, we are God's children now. What we will be has not yet been revealed. What we do know is this: when He is revealed, we will be like Him, for we will see Him as He is. And all who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure. One of the traditions of All Saints Day is to remember those who have gone on before us in the past year. Today we remember one of those sweet saints that we lost from this church in Heaven Game, as we today remember Milt Lanphier. Would you pray with me? God, as the seasons change and year passes into the next year, as time is saved and time is spent, we lose ones that we love. And all of us in this room, O God, can name names of those who are no longer with us. We cling to the promises of the gospel and the hope of the resurrection. We remember your word that says nothing can separate us from your love. Father, gather in all your chicks. Spread your wings over them and protect them from all harm. We know that they are in your kingdom now and forever and ever. Forgive us, Lord, when we struggle and fail. Forgive us when we don't live up to the example that was set before us. Forgive us in our times of doubt and our times of anger. Forgive us when in grief-stricken moments we say things we regret to you and about you. But teach us, Lord, to be more faithful and to more deeply believe. As the word says, we believe. Help us in our unbelief. Comfort us. Comfort us. And strengthen us. So that we who weep would be soon those who laugh. We who mourn would be soon those who dance. And that we might know the true meaning of joy. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
every single dream, I lay each one down at your feet. Every moment of my wandering never changes what you see. I've tried to witness war, I confess. My hands are weary, I need your rest. Mighty warrior, king of the fight, no matter what I face, you're by my side. When you don't move the mountains, I'm needing you to move. When you don't part the waters, I wish I could walk through. When you don't give the answers, as I cry out to you, I will trust in you.
Wrestle with God's word together this morning. I want to begin by inviting you, if you would like to share, to stand and share a name of someone who has served as one of those fingerprints, as David put it, in your life. Someone who has gone on to be with the Lord, but they continue to be with you as an example, as a challenge to your life, as an inspiration. If you'd like to share a name, someone from this congregation or from your family or a friend, I invite you to do that now.
Seal Tindall.
What's the name?
Seal Tindall.
Bob Scott.
That's a name you hear a lot. What's that?
Nan McCann.
Cecil Crabb.
I don't even know Cecil, but every time I hear his name, I laugh a little bit.
Roy
and Margaret Hicks. And our Franks. Somebody said one of you got it.
Ethel Carter.
Mickey Brown.
Poppy Wally.
Don Harrington.
Wayne Hughes,
yeah.
Gene Hill.
Darius Hughes.
Delbert Durham.
Martin King.
Clarence Hines.
Any others?
Bobby Smith. Jake Richard.
We could indeed name forever, couldn't we? Those who have impacted us. Those who we don't simply mourn their life. The names you shared, each of you had this expression of pride. You were almost as though you were proud to be the one to name that name. Because they meant something, not just to you, but to this world. They meant something to their community and to their church. They left a lasting legacy in lives of people. There is a form of immortality, not talking about the salvation of the soul in the kingdom of God, but there is a sort of immortality to the character of a person as it is passed down from one generation to the next. And those who did not know the names that you named, surely you have told your children and your grandchildren their stories, their lessons, their examples, their deeds. We learn even from their mistakes, don't we? And so when we come to a passage like this from Revelation chapter 7, we are reminded about what those legacy people are doing. What are they up to? And how do they impact us and continue to imprint on us? Chapter 7, verse 9. And if you don't have a Bible with you, there are some on the pews underneath, the pew in front of you. He says, after this I looked. The student in me immediately asked, after what? We have but to turn back to the beginning of chapter 7, and we see this famous listings of the tribes of Judah and this instruction that 144,000 people are redeemed by the Lord. Now, there are some traditions who take that number, 144,000, completely literal, and believe that there are only 144,000 elect in the kingdom of God. Of course, everyone who's ever shared that perspective with me was convinced that they were one of those 144,000. This number, however, is the symbolic number of completeness, completion, perfection. 144,000, 12 times 12 times 12, thousands of people. It simply is the author's way of telling you and me that every person throughout human history who is redeemed by God is there. They are there. Count on it. You can trust in it. That those who have their name written in the book of life are alive in Christ, even now. So after he comes to this realization that everybody who's supposed to be there is there. Not just the Baptist, but all those who are supposed to be there are there. He says, I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count. From every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands, they cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. That is such a deliciously worded statement, isn't it? It's one of those that you have to know that the author and the holy author together must have penned those words and then just sort of stepped back and thought, that's good. I remember being in a little village in Italy, and this chef comes out parading a dish that he had just created with mussels and some kind of pasta, and he quite proudly paraded this throughout the room, letting each person at the restaurant look at it and smell it, and then he put it on someone's table. Of course, my first thought was, I don't know if I would want to eat that after everybody else got to smell it. But he was proud of his creation, and what a beautiful worded statement. We see this image of people from everywhere, every nation, every tribe, every language, all gathered there together. Pentecost was a snapshot of this reality, wasn't it? At the day of Pentecost, the same verbiage is used. People from Jews from every nation, tribe, and language, all together as one, hearing the word of God. Here, though, this Pentecost snapshot is fulfilled and perfected and completed. And what are they doing? They're around the throne. They're gathered where they want to be, robed in white, that symbol of purity in the book of Revelation. With palm branches in their hands, I immediately think of the triumphal entry of Christ, as there again we saw a snapshot of this eternal reality. People waving palm branches and shouting about God's glorious salvation. Salvation belongs to our God. I think the people in our lives who have gone before us are people who, many of whom, understood that salvation is God's gift to humanity. Not mine, not yours, but God's precious gift. And he's the one who's seated on the throne. In verse 11, and all the angels stood around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God. Could you imagine being in that worship service? Brian, the choir did well, but they don't compare to this beautiful music, this incredible act of worship going on and on and on throughout eternity. Keep in mind that eternity is not just a really, really long time. Eternity is outside of time. It's beyond time. It's above it. It's so far from it that there is no second hand, minute hand, and hour hand at play. And all God's people looked at their watch. This service never ends. And I love the song that they're singing in verse 12. Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. It's a sevenfold praise and glorification of God. It's not saying that God doesn't have these things and they're giving them to him or wishing them for them. No, they mean to say that these are the things of God's nature. And this is what they're celebrating. He is blessing. He is glory and wisdom. He is thanksgiving and honor. He is power and he is might. And he is forever and ever. Amen. When we think about those things in the lives of the people that we love, whenever they are a blessing, it is only in that they are reflecting something of the nature of God. When we say that they are wise, it is only in that they are reflecting the wisdom of an eternal God and God's word given to us. When we say that there is something honorable about them and something thanksworthy about them, it is only in that they are reflecting Christ and the honor and thanksworthiness of Jesus. If there was anything powerful or mighty about them, chances are it was their level of humility in saying, not I, but Christ. Not me, but him. I used to have this wonderful Sunday school teacher that every time you gave him a compliment, he would say, nope, and just point. Not me, but him. Then one of the elders addressed me saying, who are these robed in white? And where have they come from? I said to him, sir, you are the one who knows. That's a smart man to say, look, I don't know, but I know you do. Then he said to me, these are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. These are not people who have been spared troubles in their lives, by the way. That's a misreading. These are people who have gone through the ordeals. These are people who have passed through the hard times. Did anybody have a parent or grandparent that went through the Great Depression? Mine did. She saved everything, by the way. Everything. Because you never know. She had gone through something that was a great ordeal. And it did not make her weaker. It made her wiser. It made her stronger. It made her more thoughtful. And it made her more thankful for everything that she had. We can learn from that. When I go through troubles, or when we're going through difficult times in our nation, or when going through great struggles, it is easy for me to wrap myself up in our little moment of history and forget that there are people who have gone before us, who have gone through much, much worse. And it made them better. He says the answer, then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal, washed their robes white in the blood of Christ. They're saved. They're made clean." In verse 15, "For this reason they are before the throne of God and worship him day and night within his temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more, nor shall they thirst any more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." What a beautiful, powerful image. I do not think, however, that we are given this image of these saints simply to make us feel better, or to simply give us a warm, fuzzy feeling in our heart, or a sense of nostalgia. I think that we are equally given this image as a challenge. How can we be more like the saints in this story? What can we do to be more like those who have gone before us? Because I don't think that there's any stretch to this statement that those who went before me were better than me. Those who went before you were better than you. We've had ups and downs throughout human history, but the generations that have gone before us, it seems like they were people who worked harder, were more honest, more faithful, prayed harder and longer, and actually knew what the Bible really says. Those who went before us were better than us. We can admit it. But we can't simply stop with that confessional statement. We also pray, "God, make us more like them in the ways that they were like you." I leave you with this challenge this morning to go home and think about those people who have gone before you. How do you measure up? Inevitably, we all will be convicted in some way or another. And in humility, we'll say, "No, we do not measure up." God can wipe that tear away as well. We don't have a calling to wallow in regrets. We do not have a calling to be miserable in the memory of our mistakes. We are called to be better. And not just better, but to be alive in Christ, even as they are alive in Christ. Would you pray with me? Lord, help us to be alive and to live more faithfully and fully the gospel example of those who've gone before us. In the name of Jesus, who is our Savior, we pray. Amen. As we react to this day and this message that we receive, it is our tradition to invite you to come forward at the end of the service to light a candle in memory of those people that you love and that you miss. The basket's going to be sitting right here on the edge. I ask that you come up forward down this aisle and then return to your seat through this aisle. Take a candle. Make sure you adjust the wick. Light it in memory
And if you'd like to pause to say a word of prayer or a word of thanksgiving, we invite you to do that as well. I light this first candle in honor and on behalf of all of those who are here today who, due to mobility issues, are not able to come forward and light a candle. This candle is in memory of those that you love and that you miss so dearly. As you feel led, would you come? Thank you.
From one light comes many lights. And all God's people said, amen. If you're able, would you stand as we sing our hymn of response, Ye Servants of God, number 589. We'll sing just the first verse.